All right. Well, listen, welcome this morning to New Life Church, where it's our aim to make Jesus the center of our life, church, and community. And it's a pleasure. It really is a joy to be able to worship with you this morning and to see all of you folks today. Thank you for making this morning a priority to be at church, and thank you for choosing to be here with us this morning. My name is Jeremy Smith, the lead pastor, and I am not preaching today. I have asked, we've got special family, and they're actually guests, but they're more family than anything, that are going to be with us today. Pastors Rick and Susan Bennett, they serve as one of our outside elders for us here at New Life. They pastor a church a few miles down the road from here in Phoenix, Arizona. They pastor Freedom Gate Church. They are the missionary overseers of Outpost of Freedom Missions that seeks to provide several amazing things: missions and outreach, Christian education, benevolence, leadership development, church oversight, pastoral mentorship, and coaching, all to the Apache and Navajo Indian Reservation. And they've been there doing that for quite a while. But I have personally known them now going on 33 years. That's a long time, man. That's amazing. But 33 years, they were my youth pastors, and they try to condense what they mean to me and what they've done for me. It's hard to do in just a brief sentence, but just a few things. They have discipled me. They have mentored me. They have prayed for me. They have counseled me. They have invested so much into me spiritually and emotionally. They have fed me so many times I can't even count. If I had to pay them back, I could not. That they have fed me so many meals. They have believed in me and still do when others don't, and others have not in the past. These guys have stood with me and believed in me. They have provided opportunity for me to grow in my gifts and my calling, even when I was extremely immature. For some reason, Rick would give me a microphone and say, "You can do this thing." And I'm like, "I don't think you know what you're doing." And they have been patient with me over the years. They have been very kind to me and to my family. Rick was my best man in our wedding. You sure did. You helped me pick out the engagement ring that Haley has and still wears, thankfully, 26 years later. That's a very important part of my life. And our relationship continues to carry on and grow. I'm obviously always thrilled that Rick is here, but I'm also very thankful that Susan gets to come on this trip this go around. It's been a while for you to be able to get out. And there's such a story and a testimony there that she's got, and they both have together. But would you just help me give a very warm, extended welcome to my dear friends and ministers, Pastors Rick and Susan Bennett.
And I
didn't sound good. She was asking me. It's supposed to be on. There you go.
And we housed Haley every weekend to make sure that she was courted properly. And I'll never forget the time that she got the flu. And Jeremy said, "What are we going to do?" I said, "What are we going to do?" And he said, "Yeah." He said, she's really sick." I said, "Yeah. I made you a pallet beside the bed in the guest room. You're going to hold the can when she pukes. And, you know, if her temperature gets over 104, call me, and I'm going to bed." And they made it. Good training. Yeah. Awesome. I love being here. I was telling Haley, I said, 4 years ago, I didn't get to come because Terry Mitchell was waiting on a heart and kidney transplant, and I had to be within 1 hour of Mayo Hospital, and she just had her four-year checkup, and she's doing fantastic. Last year, I stayed home and preached, and my parents were there from Minnesota, and some of y'all met my daddy. He's quite an amazing man. He's 89 years old, and he decided to get married again when he was 78, and they now winter with us. So it's been a little hard for me to escape, but I'm glad to be here today. I told Pastor Jeremy that I would tell you what's on the back table and what we're doing today back there briefly, okay? I think y'all know what we do. I think the summary that Pastor Jeremy gave is really good, except that if they call, we go, and that's kind of usually how things are initiated. We call it a fancy name, needs assessment. We find out what the native pastors need, and we try to help fulfill that. And it's they know what their people need. And it's wonderful to be able to come alongside them and help them. And so that's really good. Most recently, one of our churches, Pastor June Bush's church, she passed away. And her associate pastor is the new associate pastor is a young woman who's never had any training at all and has no way to leave the reservation for training. And Rick's been going up once a month and teaching them how to write a sermon and how to study and how to prepare and what to preach to make sure they know the basic stuff. And she called him one day and said, I don't know how to do a wedding, a funeral, preach a sermon, you know, but I want to learn. And when he got there, I don't know how many people are taking that class. More than her. 20 people in that one church are learning how to preach and teach the Word of God. And we're excited about that. We fundraise to help buy stuff for our outreaches on the reservation. But today, we're going to do it a little bit different. Our Navajo jewelry maker, her name is Nora. She's amazing. She lives on the reservation in New Mexico. She doesn't have running water. She doesn't have electricity. But she makes jewelry that's really, really wonderful. And I brought some of it today, and we always bring it. Her daughter lives in the city with her two children. Amanda just had major abdominal surgery. She's not been able to work. They were homeless for 4 months, sleeping on the floor. And when she had surgery, God provided through some amazing people for us to get them apartments so she wouldn't be trying to sleep on the floor after major abdominal surgery. Now we're believing to get them to the next place, you know, past this recovery and eventually to have a vehicle so she can be able to get to work. And living in a city of 4.5 million people, you need a car to get to work. That's just the way it is. And so we're believing for some big things. But the people who make the things for our little gift shop, and some of those things are made by children. There's some photography made by the president of the space program at Arizona State University back there. And there's stuff made by my 4 and 5 year old kids on the table. So everybody pitches in. But today, we were all in agreement. Everything that we sell on this trip is going to go to help Amanda and her kids get to the next place. Because let me tell you, the word the Lord put on my heart to tell you is this. Some people are one good decision away from being on a better path, right? And this woman has been fighting. We've watched her fight through loss after loss after loss, and she has not let go of Jesus. And so what you do is you need to help them, but they need more than a handout. They need a leg up. And so in the spirit, there's sometimes you have to get behind people and give them a shove. And that's the leg up, all right? And that's what we're doing. So everything we sell while we're on this trip is going to go to move that family forward, okay? And there's these beautiful native design cards for Mother's Day, Father's Day, graduation, and birthdays. There's even one that says Happy Mother's Day in Navajo. There's jewelry that Nora made, little gift cards our children make, and other things like that. So I think that's pretty much it, Pastor Jeremy. They can figure it out when they see it. I think the rest. Thank you all for having us. We're so glad to be here.
Hallelujah. Amen. Good morning. I want to share with you a word today that actually I preached it at Freedom Gate before we left last week. And you guys are going to get 2.0 version of that. But I... the Lord's really been challenging me. Would you all agree with me that the enemy, you know, not only in our country, just around the world, it seems like the enemy has really amped up his game. You know, when maybe we're seeing some of the things that Isaiah said, darkness covering the earth, and there's a lot going on there. But I've been hearing in my spirit, the Lord said, my church must become radical again. Radical. And when you think about it, everything Jesus said to his disciples was radical. lay down your life, hate your life in this world, take up your cross, follow me, live for my sake in the gospel. I mean, everything he asks of us is radical. Amen? And so I was studying the word and I was meditating. I kind of know what it means, but at the same time, I love to look up definitions. And the word has an origin in Latin that means root, the root. Kind of like you'd hear about somebody had a radical surgery and they have to go and do a radical procedure for them to be well. And it also means at the place of origin. I like that. And how many of you know it's time for us to understand that the church Jesus is coming for is going to look a lot like the prototypical church that we read about in the book of Acts. We shouldn't read that going, oh, what it would have been like to live in that day. But the Lord's calling us to radically live in this day like that. Y'all don't shout me down now. I'm in the South, right? And I want to challenge you with that today. By the way, the songs we were singing today are just perfect for what we're going to share today. You know, we sing that song, open the eyes of my heart, Lord, I want to see you. To see you what? High and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. I want to talk to you about the glory today. In Romans 3, it tells us this, that all have sinned and fallen short of what? The glory of God. Notice that, the glory of God. But of course, we're justified by the gift of grace, amen, and through redemption in Jesus Christ our Lord. Here's the thing. Through Adam's sin, we all were born sinners, amen? But through Jesus' obedience, we are made righteous in him. In the first Adam of sin, of whom every one of us, unless you were hatched, you were born in sin, right? We're all born in sin, but the glory departed. Hello? The glory departed. And the only time man ever experienced glory was on occasion. There would be some times when glory would be upon a prophet of God or on a particular service or something. But for the most part, the glory was departed from mankind because we were attached to the first Adam in sin. But the last Adam came, Jesus. And the last Adam restored the glory. Paul calls it the mystery, which is Christ in you and in me, say it with me, the hope of glory. That's the hope. So we want to talk about glory. And I know we sing a lot of songs about, oh, Lord, let your glory fall and all of that. But in all honesty, the glory's within you and the glory's wanting to rise up and express in your life. And again, I'm not against singing that. I've sung those songs. But I'm just saying there's an understanding we need to get today. How many of you ready to just have a radical paradigm shift today about the glory? And some of you, it's just a reminder. But sometimes, you know, we could sing things. That song we were singing, I love it. But I've been singing it for 20 years. And yet I'm thinking, the words are incredibly powerful. But, you know, you can do a lot of things out of religious rote, and it just doesn't move the meter. Amen? I love the old hymns, but there's certain songs. And I'm not saying we shouldn't sing old songs. What we should do is sing them in the Spirit. Sing them full of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Hallelujah. I want to share with you today about restoring the hope of glory that God intends for us as a church and as a people. And I hope this will challenge you today. Here's the thing. A born-again Christian's life is to go from faith to faith, from strength to strength, from glory to glory. Amen? I believe the old Amplified said, from one degree of glory to another. Our experiences with the glory of God should be intensifying and increasing. Yes, the birth pangs are getting more intense in the world and all of that, but the church's glory should be intensifying also. Hallelujah. Think about that. Now, if you want to follow along in your Bibles, I'm going to read to you a passage from Romans chapter 8. In the beginning of this book of Romans, it declares that the law, get this, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death. How many of you are glad you're no longer under the law of sin and death? But are we walking under the law of the Spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus? Amen? And this freedom comes, and in this there is no condemnation if we're in Christ. Amen? For those who what? Walk according to the Spirit and not the flesh. And that's the secret to understanding that. But if you will, look to me. I know those verses are very familiar, but I want to pick up this. This first passage is a little lengthy, but we need to get the context. So look at verse 10 with me in Romans 8. If Christ is in you, say in me. Come on, say it again, in me. Though the body is dead because of sin, yet the spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through what? His spirit who dwells in you. I want to say to some of you today, and I'm ready to pray for you today. If you need some life stirred up in your mortal flesh, God says go for it, because that spirit is dwelling there to quicken life to you today. Amen? Go to verse 12. So then, brethren, we are under obligation not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you're living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Now, say this with me. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 15. For you have not received the spirit of slavery, leading to fear again. How many know that's just religious bondage? Amen. But you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are, we're not gonna be, we are what? The children of God. Hallelujah. And if children, come on, talk to me, heirs also, heirs of God, fellow heirs with Christ. And this is the part we like to leave off. If indeed we what? Suffer with him. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Notice that. The glory that is to be revealed. And I want to encourage you, whatever type of suffering you may be going through, there's always a greater glory on the other side of it if you'll press through. Amen? Now, ultimately, our lives as a whole will press through. But the suffering is not because I did something dumb. The suffering is because in my choosing to walk by the Spirit, the resistance of this world will come against you. How many of you found that out? And that resistance will come, and there's a suffering that's attached to that. But there's a glory also promised, and we need to hold on to that. Amen? Jesus said the kingdom of heaven suffers violence against it, but the violent take it by force. Amen? They take hold of the kingdom of God. We press through these things. Now, Paul goes on to write. He says this, that creation itself is anxiously longing and waiting eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. Again, who are the sons of God? Those who walk by the Spirit of God. Creation itself is longing for that, for there's a restoration from its corruption that will take place. And you and I are waiting eagerly for the last aspect of our redemption. We all know we are spirit, soul, and we have a body. But the last aspect of our redemption at the day of the Lord is our mortal flesh will put on immortality. Amen? We will be quickened in a twinkling of an eye. And that's the last part of our redemption that will take place on the day of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And while we don't know how to pray as we should, we don't know how to pray as we should. Everybody should have said amen there. Amen. We don't know how to, but the Spirit himself intercedes through us with groanings too deep for words. Amen. And he prays the perfect will of God. Can I tell you, this is the reason at the end of the age, you should pray in the Spirit a lot. Are y'all with me? Because his utterances are the perfect will of God. We may express our heart, but then begin to allow the Holy Spirit to pray through you. Amen? Then we can understand and come to know the promise. You'll come to know when you pray in the Spirit and you allow the Holy Spirit to come through your prayers. What happens is you begin to come to that place where you know that God causes all things. Amen? Whether I understand it or not, to work together for good in my life. Now, why? Because I love God and I'm called according to his purposes. Amen? See, when you cherry pick these verses and you don't look at them in context, sometimes we lose the power that's there and we get confused and we don't understand. Well, how can this possibly be God? But a lot of times, how many of you look back through a trial and a time of suffering and you look back and you go, God was right in the middle of it, bringing me into glory. Amen? Hallelujah. Now pick up with these last two verses with me in verses 29 and 30. They're of the same chapter 8. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined. Predestined to what? Well, it tells us to become conformed to the image of his son. Wow, you ought to have that underlined in your Bible. So that he would be what? The firstborn among many brethren. And these whom he predestined, he also predestined. talk to me, called. And these whom he called, he also justified. And these whom he justified, come on, he also glorified. Hallelujah. Our destiny is to be conformed to Christ's image. Hello? My destiny is not necessarily my ministry. My destiny is to look like Jesus. Amen? In my family and in my home and in my work life and in my life on this planet, I should bring forth the image of Jesus in all that I do, which is going to require us to be transformed in the renewing of our minds. Amen? Which brings the glory of transformation. We need to behold his glory. I want to look at a powerful passage with you in 2 Corinthians 4. I want you to grasp this morning. Make note of this. 2 Corinthians 4, 6. For God who said, light shall shine out of the darkness. Now he's talking about at creation when the Lord said, let there be light. Okay, that God. He is the one who has what? Shown in our hearts, say my heart, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. That's quite a statement. The light, say it with me. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God that is in the face of Christ. God has shown that in our hearts, beloved. Amen? Do you believe that? It's what worship is all about. We are seeking his face. Amen? We're seeking something that's transformative if we understand what we're doing. And I wanted to look at the results of this in the next verse, verse 7. But we have this what? Treasure. Where? In our earthen vessel, in these jars of clay. Amen? So that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. Hallelujah. I want a power to flow through my life and a glory to be upon my life that is no doubt it's God and it's not Rick. Amen? And I don't know about, I think all of you want that, but you've got to understand, and I have to understand, we're carrying something that is to be treasured, but it's not to be kept to ourselves. Amen? God wants the glory to get out, hallelujah, in a mighty way. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Say that with me, Christ in me. Come on. Christ in me, the hope of glory. So in all honesty, if there's going to be any glory manifested anywhere and in any situation, it's got to be released from you, the treasure that is within you. The Holy Spirit is called in the Word of God the Spirit of glory, who rests upon us and who abides within us. You know, Jesus said, don't light your lamp and hide it. Amen? Don't hide it. Hallelujah. I know things have gotten darker, but that doesn't mean run and hide. It means arise and shine all the more. Amen? Hallelujah. Turn the light on. Be a thermostat, not a thermometer. Come on. Jesus is coming for a glorious church. Amen? But can I tell you, only by encountering glory and learning to treasure the glory can we be made glorious. Did y'all get that? Only a church and a people who encounter glory and then treasure that glory are going to be able to be glorious. In a way that brings glory to God. Amen? Now we know the scripture in Corinthians says, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is what? A new creature. Amen? A new creation. The old things, come on, have passed away. And then what does it say? Behold. Everybody say, behold. New things, what's the next two words? Have come. Everybody say that. Have come. They're not gonna come. They have come. We work so hard to become something, and yet you already have it. We just have to learn to see it ourselves and walk in it. Amen? We need to behold the new things that have come. Now, while worship is definitely about us humbling ourselves before God in his presence, amen, and that's wonderful. But worship is also seeking his face. And what shines from the face of Christ? Glory! Amen? Into our hearts. Hallelujah. We ought to walk out of here glowing. Amen. Even in the dark. Hallelujah. All the more in the dark. Because we beheld glory. Now there's two distinct ways we behold glory. You ready? Just two. Doesn't mean I'm going to be short, but there's two. Number one, beholding glory, get this, in the mirror of his word. Everybody say his word. Now James writes that we're supposed to do away with all filthiness and everything of the old life, and we're to receive the word of God implanted
which is able to save our souls. How many of you know when you were born again, your soul didn't get saved? Your spirit man came alive unto God, but your soul needs some transformation. Amen? Your soul needs some sanctification. Hallelujah. That's that area of your will and your mind and your emotions that has to be dealt with through the Word of God. Say the Word of God. But then James goes on to say something. This is something we have to be careful of. Us church attenders, we've got to be more than an attender. We've got to be more than a hearer. Amen? And let's look at it. James 1:22. But prove yourselves what? Doers of the word, and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man. Now notice this. Here's the example. Now hang on to this. He's like a man who looks at his natural face where? In a mirror. For once he has what? Say it. Looked at himself and gone away. He has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. I mean, that's a great example. Very practical, but it's a spiritual example for us. Let's keep reading. But one who looks intently. That means you look into the Word of God. You're not casually reading stories. You're looking intently into the mirror of the Word of God. Amen? Yes, amen. Hallelujah. At the perfect law, the law of liberty. When I come back to the South, I expect it to be loud. It's very quiet out West, believe me. The laid-back people. But you're not supposed to be laid-back. Anyway, I love you. But it's the perfect law, the law of liberty or freedom. And what does it say? And abides by it. Not having become what? A forgetful hearer, but an, effectual doer. This man will be blessed in what he does. Hallelujah. That's the key right there. When we look at Jesus in the Word, we're actually looking in a mirror. And I want you to get this. Why? Because the Word is a reflection, get this, of Christ Jesus. Who is where? Sometimes I say that and I pause and I get the wrong answer, but is he in heaven at the right hand of the Father? Absolutely. But we're one spirit with the Lord, and by the Holy Spirit of glory, he's in us. Amen. Hallelujah. Are y'all getting this? You guys, if we can learn to read the Word this way, that's why I spend most of my time in the Gospels and the Book of Acts and in the New Covenant, because I'm looking at Jesus, but I'm looking at a reflection of he who is within me. And I'll tell you, of all the experience with the glory of God that I love, I'm learning more and more how to see this as a true mirror. Okay? Everybody grasp that? The word here is called the law of liberty. It's the law of freedom. Amen? Because see, the Spirit of glory, by the Spirit of glory, we have freedom. We have liberty to behold his glory. Hallelujah. And we need to renew our minds, would you agree? So that we can see this. And see who it is and who we are in Christ. A very common thing you hear here in the South, especially in the Bible Belt, is I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. Did you know that is not biblically true? You were an old sinner. Amen? I'm going to make some of you Southerners mad because you hear that all the time. You were a sinner, but now you're saved by grace, and now you are in Christ, the righteousness of God in him. Amen. A new creation. But see, if you don't see yourself as that, guess what? You'll keep walking as a sinner. Always are troubled in some of the programs that work with people with addictions and stuff. One of the biggest problems I have is to stand up week after week and go, "Hi, I'm Bob, and I'm an alcoholic." That's what he sees. See what I'm saying? And you won't change to the righteousness picture in view until you begin to get into the Word of God. The truth will set you free. Hallelujah. And you maybe never knew it till today, but glory is attached to this. It's so powerful. It says in 1 John chapter 4, he says, as he is, get this, so also are we in this world. Not just when we go to heaven, but now. Say now. In this world, as he is, so also are we. How about this verse? You know it well. Galatians 2:20. For I am crucified with Christ. The old man, right? Hello? I am crucified with Christ. It's no longer I, the old guy, that lives, but Christ lives in me. In this life that I now live, in this mortal flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Hallelujah. You know, you can wear the WWJD bracelet all you want, but you got to have a revelation of who's in you. Amen? You can know what Jesus would do, but you can't do it if you don't believe that Jesus is living through you. Hallelujah. The Jesus who lives in us can't live through us if we don't see and look intently at him in the Word of God. He is what? The Word made flesh. And you know what? He wants his Word to take flesh upon our lives, in our lives individually. Amen? As true Christians. So what? Why? Because he wants to work in and through us to will and to work for his good pleasure. That's the Lord's intention. We have been redeemed by his blood. Somebody say, I'm redeemed. But that means you're not your own. You're bought with a price. Amen? Even your corruptible body that has not yet been transformed until that day of the Lord, even your corruptible body belongs to the Lord. It's to be a temple of the Holy God. Hallelujah. Who dwells within us. Hallelujah. Well, I have no obligation to fulfill the desires of my flesh. Can I, as a Christian, still fulfill fleshly desires? Absolutely. But if I get a revelation of who I am in Christ, it changes everything. Amen? We're called to be sanctified, spirit, soul, and body unto the Lord. In 2 Corinthians, it says, God is faithful. How many believe he's faithful? And his promises are yes to us in Christ Jesus. Come on. As many of them as there are, they are yes to us. And then it says, we in Christ, we give our amen to the promises of God. What is an amen? It's not supposed to be just a religious response, which I don't have a lot of luck lately getting people to say anyway. Amen. It's saying, so be it. Like Mary, it's saying, be it unto me. Okay, that's a promise of God. I believe it's a yes. I'll have some of that. Amen. Come on, amen. Hallelujah. But the rest of the verse says, to the glory of God through us. Not just that the glory filled the room. And I believe in that. But it's the glory of God that manifests through us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God doesn't bring his glory to entertain the flock. He brings his glory to transform us. Hallelujah. Beholding and abiding in the Word of God in the Spirit is supposed to be a time of transformative worship. Whether you're hearing it preached to you or taught to you, or whether you're alone in your secret time with God, getting out the Bible and getting into the Word, it should transform you every time. If we understand this, I hope moving forward from today, we'll all walk in that reality. Amen? I don't know about you, but I want to look more like Jesus tomorrow and the next day. Amen? Hallelujah. We're conforming. Again, we behold his glory in the mirror of his Word. But there's another mirror, very similar, and they're very connected. The second thing is this. We behold his glory in worship. Everybody say worship. Now, worship, at its base meaning in the Greek, means to bow down and kiss. So it's to bow humbly, but it also means to express yourself. You express yourself. And of course, we kiss with our lips and the fruit of our lips, right? Because he's not physically here, so we kiss him with the words of our mouth and our adoration. Are y'all tracking with me? Amen? We're expressing that. We're worshiping the Lord. It's totally okay, and it's good. Amen? But Paul writes this in 2 Corinthians. You want to turn there with me if you got your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 10. I'm sorry, 3. 2 Corinthians 3. He writes about how the glory of Moses in the law was a ministry of condemnation. Why? Sin and death, right? But did you know even that law had a glory? Hello? It was the glory that would be upon Moses, but even in that glory Moses had, it would fade away. And so what would Moses do? He would wear a veil so that the people wouldn't realize that the glory this man was glowing with has now faded away. But then Paul goes to great lengths to share with us how the glory in the new covenant is far greater than even that glory that they experienced on Sinai. Now let's look at the passage picking up with verse 10 of 2 Corinthians 3. For indeed what had glory in this case has no glory because of the glory that what? Surpasses it. For if that which fades away was with glory, much more that which remains is in glory. Therefore, having such hope, we use great boldness in our speech and are not like Moses, who used to put a veil over his face so that the sons of Israel would not look intently at the end of what was fading away. But their minds were hardened, for until this very day, at the reading of the old covenant, the same veil remains unlifted because it is removed. Say it. In Christ. But to this day, now get this, whenever Moses is read, the law, a veil lies over their heart. But whenever a person, what? Talk to me. Turns to the Lord, what happens? The veil is taken away. Hallelujah. I want to say to some of you today, God's going to remove some veils. Some of you allowed some veils of religion and such things that are keeping you from seeing the glory of God. Amen? It's a deception that you can't, as a believer, see the glory of God. And that's only for a special few people. No, he's called us all to behold his glory. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is freedom. Verse 18, but we all. So that means not just your pastor and worship leader. Everybody, but we all, say we all, with unveiled face. Time to go to class. How do you get an unveiled face? Turning to the Lord. Amen? Beholding, there it is, as in a what? Say it, a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are being what? Transformed, this is so cool, into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. Somebody say amen, hallelujah, or something. That is powerful. When you and I turn to the Lord in prayer, in worship, in the secret place, in a corporate gathering, when we turn to the Lord with unveiled faces, we're able to behold the glory of the Lord. And it transforms us, just like the Word does. It worship will also transform you into the image of God. Hallelujah. So it's not an either-or thing, because the Father is looking for worshipers, those who will worship Him in spirit and in the truth. Amen? And the Word of God is truth. And we can see now the connection of these things. And this is all made a reality. It's only made possible by the Holy Spirit. Amen? Because we can sing the songs, quote the scriptures, but you have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? For it to come with power in your life. Now, the question that many might ask is, well, why do we look into a mirror? Again, we're actually, please get this, we're seeing a reflection of the Jesus who is in us. Amen? So don't just worship him and go, oh, he was so awesome. Begin to realize he who is so awesome has taken up residence in you and me. That's why it's called what? A treasure. All right? The second question that many would ask is, why is beholding him and his glory so important? Well, because you will become like and you will reflect what you're looking at. Amen? How many of you know that works for good or evil? Right? Whatever you obsess with in your heart and your gaze and what you look at. How many of you know in this generation, there's never been a generation that has been more bombarded with sound, sights, and images as this generation? Amen? Constantly we're being bombarded by things. And I'm telling you, it's a real problem. Most people say they don't have time for the Word, but they'll scroll Facebook for 3 hours on any given evening. You see what I'm saying? And it's the images that God, we need to be seeing. We need to reflect upon that, because God wants to reflect from us the beauty of his glory. Now go with me over to Psalm 34. Psalm 34, verse number 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. Amen? His praise shall, talk to me, continually be where? In my worship leader's mouth. No, in your mouth. Amen. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. The humble will hear it and rejoice. Oh, magnify, made up a word there. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I sought the Lord and he answered me. Come on now. And delivered me from all my fears. This is powerful. Stay on it. They looked to him and were radiant. And their faces will never be ashamed. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? See, this is the power of true, heartfelt, humble, sincere worship. we radiate something. Amen? I wasn't joking when I said we need to go in the dark. But I can't radiate what I'm not looking at. Amen? We've all done this. We've had something come out of us, an emotion, words, something come out of us, and we always go, I don't know where that came from. I'm embarrassed. I don't know where it came from. It came from your heart. It's there, right? We always love to say the devil made me do it. But, you know, the bottom line is we have a problem. We have an image problem. Come on. We are transformed into his image as we gaze into the word and we renew our minds and as we gaze with unveiled faces into his glory. And those of us that will do this continually, regularly, and consistently, the Lord will cause us to radiate glory. Hallelujah. And it is a discipline, but it's not merely a discipline. I want to encourage you today. This is a supernatural work of the Spirit of glory. It's a supernatural work of God that's working in us, through us, and upon us. Say that with me. In us, through us, and upon us. That's what God intends for his glory. When Adam sinned, the glory departed. Amen? When Jesus came as the last Adam, the glory has been given to us again. We won't turn there, but in Acts chapter 6, Stephen was one of the first deacons assigned to the early church. And the Bible says he was full of grace and power, and he was performing great signs and wonders among the people. And imagine this, the religious leaders came against him. Okay? And they began to accuse him of speaking blasphemies against God and Moses, the law, right? And we read in Acts 7, we won't turn there, but just let me share it with you. In his defense, if you've never read chapter 7, it's his defense of the accusations, and it's a powerful sermon in the Bible. Powerful. In fact, at the end of his sermon, it was so powerful, the council who had brought him forth with their accusations, the Bible says they were listening and they were cut to the quick, and they began gnashing their teeth. But being full of the Holy Spirit, I love this, Stephen gazed intently into heaven, and he saw the glory of God, and he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. Hallelujah. Isn't that powerful? And as they rushed upon him to stone him to death, Stephen said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he fell to his knees and he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. How many know you can't pray that way if you've not conformed to the image of Jesus? Come on, we just can't. Have people say all the time, I just can't forgive him. I just can't let it go. Well, you got an image problem. Amen? How many know that sounds very familiar to the cross, doesn't it? Interestingly, before this dramatic conclusion, Stephen was brought before the council. And at the end of chapter 6, it says this. They were interrogating him. And it said everyone on the council, get this, fixed their gaze on Stephen. It's kind of like they went, like, what's going on here? And it said right in front of their eyes, while they're falsely accusing him, his face glowed as though he had the face of an angel. You ever read that? A man. Come on, a redeemed man. Conformed to the image of Christ. Wasn't it an apostle, prophet? It's a deacon. But God used him mightily because he knew who he was in Christ. Amen? Think about that. They're looking at glory shining off of his face. And I'm convinced of this. I'm convinced we're going to see more of this greater glory shining upon the saints at particular times. I really do. I believe we're going to see that. And it's going to be something, especially as the day of the Lord draws near. There are lots of prophetic scriptures that speak of such glory. I couldn't even begin to give you all of them. When Peter raised the man at the gate beautiful, well, God raised him through Peter. And the man at the gate beautiful, a crowd gathered, and of course Peter preached, right? Thousands again got saved. But he preached, and he said this, repent and return so that times of refreshing may come. No, so that your sins may be wiped away and times of refreshing. Amen? May we come. Revival. We were singing that today. Amen? May come from what? The presence of the Lord. And that he may send Jesus the Christ appointed for you. Now get this. Whom heaven must receive. In other words, he will remain in heaven until the period of restoration of all things spoken by the prophets from ancient times. Guys, there's scripture. Now, how many would agree with me? All the scriptures regarding the sacrifice and being the Lamb of God, Jesus fulfilled all of that already. Amen? But see, the day of the Lord's coming, and he's coming again, and there's a greater fulfillment of even other things out on the other side of redemption that is still in our future. Amen? And these things are going to be fulfilled until the day of the Lord. I've been teaching a lot about that and trying to, how can we be prepared as a people for the end of the age? And you constantly see that word, until the day of the Lord. Until the day of the Lord. Do this until the day of the Lord. We're still in that period. Amen? And it's important for us to understand these prophecies. In Peter's second epistle, I want to look at a verse with me. In 2 Peter 1:19. It's just powerful. Look what it says. We have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining where? In a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star, what? Arises in your hearts. Notice that. Arises in your hearts. I mean, you know, what does Isaiah 61 say? Arise and shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Are y'all getting this? It's risen upon you. Now, the verse preceding that talks about how we walk in covenant with the Spirit upon us. That's how we arise and shine. But I want to read those first five verses of Isaiah 62. You ready? Isaiah 60, verse 1. Arise and shine, okay? For your light, say it, has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness the peoples, but the Lord will what? Rise upon you, and his glory will, come on, appear upon you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes round about and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons will come from afar. Your daughters will be carried in the arms. Then you will see and be radiant, and your heart will thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea will be turned to you and the wealth of nations will come to you. I want to say to you today, I believe we'll see many of our spiritual sons and daughters will come to us. But for some of you, even your own natural biological sons and daughters are going to come home. Amen? Because of the glory upon your life, not because of your sermons. Because of the glory of what you've been beholding. I believe this. There's going to be supernatural appearances of his glory on the people of God at the end of the day, age. I believe that with all of my heart. And I think we could all agree, darkness is covering the earth. Hello. Our nation, our country, our cities and towns. Amen? But I'm telling you, God's wanting to do something powerful. You might say, well, what do? What's the answer? We don't drive out the darkness. We don't shout at the darkness. We arise and shine. Because no glory and light shines any better than in the midst of darkness. Amen? Light always trumps the darkness. If you have a dark room, can't see your hand in front of your face in here, I can just walk in with my iPhone and bring some light in. Amen? But how many of you know, if the room is lit up, you can't bring any darkness in it? If the light's on, guess what? It won't go dark. So yes, the kingdom of darkness is real. Hello? It's real and it's manifesting. But we're in the kingdom of light. Hallelujah. And we got to keep our eyes on the prophetic lamp in times of darkness. Keep our eyes there. Let me just share just a couple of things with you. We're not going to look them up. How about this? You ready? This is what the prophetic lamp says. The knowledge of the glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the seabed. Hallelujah. If you're taking notes, that's Habakkuk 2:14. How about this one? The glory of the latter house will be greater than the former house. Hallelujah. Haggai 2:9. In the book of Acts, in chapter 5, the early church, the first church that we have recorded, the church at Jerusalem, they said, to me, they really became a city set on a hill. Because the Bible says they brought everybody who was sick and demon afflicted to this church. And there were such crowds, they had to lay the sick and lame on cots on the pathway going into the temple for the people to hope that an apostle shining with glory might shine, their shadow might touch them and heal them. I mean, the church was known for this. How many know God wants his church to again be known for the glory of God. Hallelujah. It glorifies God. I don't want the only glorious thing to say. Boy, what a glorious sermon that was. Whoop-de-doo. Amen. Hallelujah. The psalmist said this, praise will come from the great assembly. The afflicted will eat and be satisfied. And those who seek the Lord will praise him from the ends of the earth. And they will turn to the Lord. All the families of the earth will worship before him. Come on, guys. That's our destiny to see. For this gospel of the kingdom will be preached as a witness. Amen? It's going to require glory. As a witness to all the nations, all tribes and tongues. And then, everybody say, then the end shall come. Hallelujah. So what signs are we looking at? Did Jesus give us some signs in the natural to look at? Absolutely. Wars, rumors of wars. Amen? Hello? Deception? People's love growing cold? Lawlessness increasing? I think we're seeing that. Amen? Earthquakes, famines, all of those things are taking place. And they are intensifying. But there's other signs and wonders also that God wishes to show because they confirm his word. Amen? Signs that reveal his glory and signs that declare he's here through miracles and healings and deliverances and supernatural breakthroughs. At the wedding of Cana of Galilee, it says clearly this was his first miracle that he did, changing the water to wine, and it said, and he revealed his glory. Hallelujah! God wants to do some things in our lives with others and in the house of God to reveal his glory that God is manifest in the midst of us. Hallelujah! And we need to believe for that. But we have to behold the glory we want to express. And I believe one of the greatest signs is going to be his glory upon us. There's one last. Did I give you guys John 17? I did not? Okay. Just make note of this. Let me read it to you. John 17, 21. Now, this is Jesus praying to the Father on our behalf. Okay? Jesus is praying to the Father. Look what it says. I ask that they all may be, verse 21, that they all may be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, so they also may be in us. So, get this, so that the world may believe you sent me. Y'all see how important this is? It's so the world may believe we're not just another religion. Amen? And then look at verse 22. If you don't hear anything I say, get this, because this is in red in your Bible. Are you ready? What does it say? The glory which you, Father, have given me, I have given to them that they may be one just as we are one. Everybody look at me. Look up. As painful as it is, look at me. You've been given the glory. Amen? I mean, I know on a Sunday morning, probably hear everybody in this room is born again. You know the Lord, right? I hope. If not, this is your day. This is your day to get saved right now. Amen? But let me just say this to you. The glory has been given to you. And the enemy is the one who's the thief. Amen? He's the thief. He's clearly the thief. And he comes to cause that glory to be shrouded. But God has shown his light in our hearts. Now, before we respond today, I want us to respond with prayer. But I want us to respond in prayer singing. The Bible says this in Ephesians 5, I think 17. It says, awake, O sleeper. I like to put it this way. I used to tell my youth group, wake up, sleepy heads. Amen? If you'll wake up and arise, Christ will shine on you. Amen? He will. He promises he will. Even today, even at the close of the service, he will shine on you. It's got to be more important to us than lunch. I don't get any amens there, but anyways. There's another verse, 1 Corinthians 6, 17. It says this, he who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. Therefore, glorify God in your body. God wants to be glorified through your life and even through your physical body. Amen? And I say this sincerely and in love. None of us can radiate glory if we don't ever behold it. Amen? None of us can form to Christ's image. I'm not saying you don't love him. I'm not saying you're not saved. But I'm just saying there's a level of radical Christianity. Radical, back to the origin, the root that God's calling us to. Amen? These passages, guys, are nearly 2,000 years old. And they're full of life and power. It's still a living word. Amen? Hallelujah. He's calling us to glow in the dark. Hallelujah. By the mercies of God, we can present ourselves to God. And we can worship Him. Amen? Hallelujah. Moses said, Lord, if you don't go, I'm not going to go. And I love that. And then the Lord said, I'm going with you and I'll go before you. And Moses still wasn't satisfied. You know what he said next? Oh, Lord, show me your glory. Amen? And we have a better covenant with a greater glory. Why aren't we praying that? Come on. Show me your glory, Lord. Because it'll change every one of us. Every encounter from glory to glory will change us as we look into the mirror. Anybody want to radiate? I'm serious. Wave at me. Do you want to radiate? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I was meditating a lot about 20 years ago, especially in Psalm 27. It starts out with David describing the enemy all around him. And David says, but I know this, the Lord is the defense of my life. God's got this, you know. God's got me. And y'all remember this verse. He says, but there's only one thing I've asked of the Lord, and I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord, the presence of the Lord, all the days of my life, and behold the beauty and glory of the Lord. See, that was the secret to David's intimacy with God. He said, that's all I want to do. I can't do anything about the enemy that's surrounded me, but what I can do is I can go behold Him. And then later in that psalm, David says, there's so many good verses, but he said, His Spirit said unto me, seek my face. Face. What shines from the face of Jesus? Glory into your heart. He said, seek my face. Come on. And I said, your face, O Lord, I shall seek. Say that with me. Your face, O Lord, I shall seek. Hallelujah. And when we do that, we can expect glory. I'm not going to ask you to stand up unless you want to, because I want you just to sincerely press in. If you want to stand up, you can. You can kneel if you can, or whatever you want to do. But I do want to ask you this. I want to, the Lord, when I was meditating on that psalm, the Lord gave me a song around Psalm 27. And I wrote it like 25 years ago. But I want to sing this over you and invite you to sing with me. And I want to believe God. There's always been an anointing on this song. And it's an anointing for you to be able to know that His face is shining on you. What is the great blessing, the Aaronic blessing? What is it? May the Lord bless you. Come on. And keep you and make His face shine upon yours. Amen? Come on, all you radiant ones. Amen? May He be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you. You know what that means? It's the smile of His approval and love for you. Remember when Jesus came up out of the waters? He said, this is what? My Son, my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Same meaning. And God wants to say that over you today. Would anybody want to receive that? So will you right now put your phones away and put your Bibles away and just focus. Get into a posture to receive for just a few minutes. We're going to close with this. And I just want you to allow the anointing of the Word of God to bless you. And I want you to join me with any parts of the song that you understand and know. And let's just believe for an encounter with glory for these next few minutes before we leave out of here today. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Why don't you right now, as I grab my guitar, why don't you right now just close your eyes and begin to ask the Lord to show you His glory. Go ahead. Go ahead. I ought to hear some voices. Show us your glory, Lord. Let's begin, if we can, with a more familiar chorus and sing this with me to the Lord. We all know this one. Holy, holy are you, Lord God Almighty. Worthy is the Lamb Worthy is the Lamb. You are holy. Holy are you, Lord God Almighty. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Amen. Lift your face to heaven. Come on. Lift up your hands to heaven and worship. Oh, holy. Holy. Are you, Lord God Almighty? Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. You are holy. Holy. Are you, Lord God Almighty? Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Holy, all creation cries. Holy, you are lifted high. Holy, holy forever. Oh, all the angels cry. Holy, you are lifted high. Holy, holy forever. Say it. All the angels cry. Say it. Holy, all creation cries. Holy, you are lifted high. Holy, you're holy forever. Holy, holy are you, Lord God Almighty. Worthy is the Lamb. 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 Amen. To behold your beauty. Your majesty, and to know the love that you have for me, while gazing in your face, Jesus, how I love you. Oh, Jesus, I adore you. And I bow my heart to worship you. Oh, Lord, I see your face. I believe we have the words up. We can sing that. Come on, join me.
to behold your beauty. Oh, to behold your majesty. And to know the love you have for me. While gazing in your face. Jesus, how I love you. Oh, Jesus, I adore you. And I bow my heart to worship you. Oh, Lord, I seek your face.
Focus on him.
Oh Lord, I seek your face. Your face shines on me. Your face shines on me. Your face shines on me. And it's lovely. Your face shines on me. Face shines on me. Your face shines on me. And it's holy. Every voice. Your face shines on me. Your face shines on me. Your face shines on me. And it's lovely. Your face shines on me. Your face shines on me. Your face shines on me. And it's holy. For the Lord, our God, you are holy. For the Lord, our God, you are holy. My glorious, 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 my glorious. Jesus, I worship you. Jesus, I worship you. You are all my heart desires. Sing that with me. Jesus, I worship you. Oh Lord, I worship you. You are all my heart desire. And I worship you, Almighty God. For there is none like you. and I worship you, O Prince of Peace. And that is all I long to do, and I give. For you are my righteousness. Lord, I give you praise. For you are my righteousness. Every voice, and I worship you. Almighty God, for there is none like you. There is none like you. Oh, there is none like you. Oh, we treasure you, Lord. We treasure you, Lord. There's none like you, Lord. Oh, there's none like you. There's none like you. I treasure your presence, God. Your glory. Lift your face. Lift your face to heaven. Lord, today I pray for receptive hearts. Renew our minds, Lord. Renew our minds by your word today. Some of us have been reminded, today that we are called to behold your glory. We are called to carry your glory. We are called to release your glory in the earth, to radiate your glory. Come on, pray with me, everybody. Say yes. Pray in the spirit. Just respond right now. And Lord, I take authority right now over every veil that is hindering your beloved. Every veil of religion, every veil of frustration, every veil of this life, and every lie that has become a veil that has kept you from this reality. We rip it back today in the name of Jesus. We rip it back today. We rip it off today in the name of Jesus. And the Lord would say to you, turn to the Lord. Turn your heart to Him. Even as a Christian, turn to Him in worship. Turn to Him in the Word. And be transformed. Hallelujah. Come on, new liberty right now. New liberty by the glory of God from the face of Christ. Shine. Shine, shine. Shine upon us, Lord. Whew. One more time. Your face shines on me. Your face shines on me. Your face shines on me. And it's lovely. Your face shines on me. Your face shines on me. Your face shines on me. And it's lovely. And it's holy. I also pull back the veil that would make you think I can only experience this in a corporate setting. The Lord says you can experience this every moment in the secret place. Come on. In the secret place where the Father sees in secret and rewards you with the glory that Jesus has given you. Come on, say, I receive it, Lord. Come on, say it. I receive it, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. If there be anybody here today, you might say, I don't understand a lot of what you shared today, Pastor Rick, but I know I need to be born again. I need to be free. I need to become that new creation. If that's you today, I want to pray with you this morning. I just want you just to come to the front. Susan, I will pray over you and with you. And you can enter into that relationship. If you've been away from God and you just want somebody to pray with you to get back in that right place with God, I want you to come on forward. I'll pray with you. We'll pray lovingly for you and get you back into that right standing with God again in just a few moments. When the prodigal son came home, he was restored in a moment of grace. In a moment of grace, the filthy robe was taken off and a righteous robe was placed on him. And if you're here today and you know that there's been struggles from your religious upbringing, struggles from your past or whatever that had been a veil to keep you from beholding glory, you've never felt good enough, I want to pray with you today for the power of justification to be able to cause you to be able to be glorified. And I want to pray for you with that. And I'm just going to ask you, nobody will know why you came to the front. Don't worry about that. But Susan, I would love to pray over you and bring you into a place of new liberty, for where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Say freedom. Hallelujah. So that's what the altar will be open for. And I'll stay, and Susan, I will pray with you.